This meeting is now being recorded.
So good morning, everybody. I'm going to start by taking roll call. Judge Conklin, I said, is going to be a bit delayed. Ms. Fleming?
Present.
Judge Cope?
Here.
Judge Heinrich?
Here.
Judge Maribondo?
Here.
Ms. Carter?
Here.
Mr.
Here.
Mr. Lewis?
Here.
Mr. Planet?
Here.
Mr. Roddy?
Here.
Ms. Dugreen Kopopienko?
Here. Very good.
Everybody's present. So I just want to remind everybody that this meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. There's no members on the phone. So I think we can go ahead, Rebecca, and start the meeting.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for coming back again today. We had a very long meeting yesterday, but as you can see from the back of the room where we're looking at the whiteboard, we actually accomplished a lot. And while it was very tedious and very painful to quote this charter, we actually, I think, created quite a bit of the narrative that will be encapsulated in our report for the first 5 years of WACOM and a lot of what will frame where we head for the next time period of WACOM. And so yesterday we actually asked staff to we gave action items of leveling the funding allocation 75% to take a look at that. We asked them to bring back on the 18th evaluation of the submissions thus far and any new ones that are received. Take a look at what WACOM looks like with the civil assessments added in as part of the calculation. Look at a factor for inflation. And how that affects the funding floor, calculate a 0.9% BLS calculation, and reject Lake County for regional issues regarding comparison across counties. And then lastly, that was the last one. And then we were actually discussing education of CEOs of PGAs when it comes to WACOM, and we are going to collaborate now with the SEAC subcommittee group on GIPSIS to make sure that we're supporting efforts on evaluating anomalies there. So, yes, ma'am.
One more action item for us to consider, and that is how do we want to communicate any suggestions to the WAC committee? In other words, I identified one issue yesterday that I think does need to be formally referred, because I think when decisions are made by a committee and without understanding the impact, when the impact becomes obvious, we need to have a process. So is that something that we need to talk to Judge Conklin about referring to the WAC committee?
Yeah, I think that would go through the chair. Judge Conklin would basically communicate the concerns that were brought up in this group, and I think he would take, is that chair you, or is that actually going to go straight to Chris? Or is this for that subcommittee? No.
Yeah, it's the WAC committee.
I'm talking about the decision
specifically related to infraction.
So that's chair of that committee.
So I do think we need to have it as an action item because when you make decisions related to one matter and you don't know how they impact in another realm, I think they just need to understand that it had an impact.
Okay.
For them to consider.
Right. I will just say.
I understand. It's not like that.
Why don't you just bring it up as a WAC member the next time that WAC meets?
Well, because shouldn't it be formally on the agenda so that people can discuss it rather than me raise it kind of off the cuff and you can actually do an assessment?
I do think it would be better for Judge Conklin to reach out to Judge Conklin.
I just think that if we're going to formally talk about whether or not that's something we need to look at, it should probably be an agenda item rather than me raise it and catch people cold. That's.
So we've added that to the action items for the committee.
We have already run number one if you want to look at that.
Oh, yeah.
So let's take a look at that. Maybe that can kick off our conversation for today. It's about to run the 75% leveling information for the course. And as you recall from last night, since it was such a long time ago that we saw each other, we left it where we were going to circle back to our first item on our work plan, which was year six and beyond, and so this can start our conversation. So for those on the phone, we are actually projecting a calculation of the 75% funding level across the board for all courts to see the impact.
Now, did you eliminate the floor funding courts? Okay. What's that?
This morning.
Okay.
Yeah. So, this is very much a first draft. This number here is the WACM allocation for floor. And then we have the WACM need, current ratio. And then we say, what would the 75% funding ratio be? That's actually the, that's referring down here to the statewide.
Because Keith, the column that is colored, is that, so a red is a big cut, correct?
Yes. It's over 20% it looks like, right?
So, sorry, that's
around there. Can you pull green it?
Wait, that was Los Angeles. Go back. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You're going to have to get rid of the...
Teddy.
We don't have this printed out.
So ribbon. Is it Control F11 or F11?
F11, I think it is.
Well, that's
what
you've
got all the current ratios right now. This is what I've...
Any chance these can get printed?
You want to print them? Okay, let me...
This would be really nice.
Sorry, can you email it to me?
Yeah.
These would be really nice to see. Because we've got the current ratios and the projected, that would be great.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any thoughts on where we left off last night as far as moving forward and kind of the framework that we want to take a look at? We've made one of our objectives to reach an equity level, so it doesn't seem like there's any question about the fact that we need to get there, but any initial thoughts while we're waiting for the printout?
I would like to propose that we do think about talking about principles both with existing money and new money, so that there's a plan in place and we have recommendations to the council that would be kind of an ongoing concept. So while there's no expectation with this governor, at least, that we may get new money and we can't rely on it or anything like that, I think we should have principles in place. So when we get to the point where we talk about ideas, I would suggest that we separate the concepts. Last time when we did WACM, we kind of merged them together, right, where they kind of, there were different stools on the WACM. But I think that when we hit a year where there's no new money, we know what we're doing. If we get a year where there's new money, we know how that existing money will be handled in the new money.
Well, I think we can launch into this conversation now, because we kind of, with all the other actions and the other work that we did yesterday, we're kind of back to that point where, okay, now what do we do with it? Do we keep it all as one as we deal with historical funding? Do we separate it out? Do we, you know, how do we do it? So what are you suggesting principle-wise in terms of the two separate?
Well, I think we should talk about them separately, you know.
How does everybody else feel about that? Two different approaches. So there's... 400 plus million.
Maybe. I mean, again, I wouldn't look at the dollar amount. I would talk about existing money.
And in that math that Peter has done, it makes everybody in the same place of the available dollars. And so I think that the goal is everybody's the same. So I guess it doesn't matter that much to talk about the remaining pot if everybody's in the same place.
And from my perspective, I think we ought to just talk about money as money as money. And not old money, new money, pie in the sky money, but just some money that we have.
I think that also complicates it if we're talking about ease of understanding.
Yeah.
But
I agree. Would it be helpful to talk about the old money in terms of, as of the calculation today, without changes, 400 plus is what is available for movement?
Well, actually, I was going to talk about new money, so I'll wait.
So you're saying stop where we are right here and draw a line at this point and then separate the 486 or what will be left of it?
I'm not sure what...
But where the dividing line would be,
Sherry? What I'm saying is I just think we should talk about existing money. I don't like historical or what, and because while it's calculated at 400 whatever, that could include some new money that had been reallocated. I mean, it isn't the old money because there's been reallocations made in the last 5 years. So I just think that my whole point is I just think that we need to say, okay, with the money we have, especially if we go with an average funding, you know, where the branch is funded as our line, we talk about movement based on workload there, and then we talk about new money separately. But that's just an idea.
It's been a good way to understand how we're moving money. So we're going to move 10% of X to get to Y. So it's been a good post that we could go back to because we knew 10% of what or 5% of what. So, would like to see what people are talking about when they say, well, let's just put this point forward. I don't know what the starting point is going to be and how we determine X percent of what is what we're going to move in a year. And yes, there have been changes, but we always go back to that historical base under the assumption that once all that money had been reallocated under the new model, we would theoretically be at equity.
I have a suggestion.
I mean, I've said that well, but...
I'm going to throw out a suggestion.
Yes.
Just to get this going, right? So I think we should talk about existing money, thank you, separate from new augment money. And then there's a whole separate issue about when we talk about new money, we're going to have to talk about what do we mean by new money, because there's money that goes for... One of the things we talked about is we have this constant degradation of services because we don't get... There's an expectation of service expansion. We need to get the money to fill holes of cost increases and everything else. So, yeah, so we're going to have that discussion. But if we're talking, it might be easier to have that discussion than existing money, but we're on existing money. So why don't we take the concept we said yesterday, which is we know courts are above and below the average line at 75%.
Well, is 75% where we're funded as a branch?
Yes.
Okay, so we've agreed on that.
Yes.
And that will fluctuate every year. So I think the first principle is...
Based on the funding level.
Correct.
Okay.
So we have that. So currently it's 75 because we all need something tangible.
Right.
That number next year might be
68.
Right. It might be 81, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
I'll see that complicated a little bit. But so if we're saying we know we don't want to have wild fluctuations, so I'm going to pick a percentage. So let's say it's plus or minus 5%. We know if you are plus or minus 5% of that number in any 1 year, we don't want to just suddenly take money away from you or give money, and we're trying to get a range, and we can debate what that range looks like. Let's say 5% plus or minus for now. Then if it's existing money and you're beyond that, so you're above 80%, then should we talk about a way that if there's no new money, do we want to say that there will be some slow reduction for those courts to bring them down and some slow increase for courts around the bottom on a percentage basis? So you could say, well, you're not going to move more than 1%. We're not going to move more than 1% of any court's budget per year to slowly bring it down because that's just a slow change. It's going to take us 20 years, right? But that would be an option. And then when you talk about new money, then we can talk about that gets allocated a different way to bring
up,
faster.
Which brings the funding line up, which means there's less reallocation from the top. That's why I like it.
As this was the first year where we had no money, I think it's a real illustration of the impact of reallocating funds in a year when there's nothing. When you put that up against also other cost drivers like retirement benefits and revenues and other things so that you get a triple win. continue to sustain that. We cannot, I don't think the branch and certain courts can continue to sustain that level of reduction. And you heard me say this yesterday, more than past the 10 years that we're currently in. And, you know, for me, if there's no money, we've got to somehow energize the governor and the legislature to put money into this system. And I think we ought to say, look, if there's no money, we're not going to do anything from a Waffen perspective because courts are already taking hits across the board. You throw in money and we're going to match it or double match it or some way to put an incentive on the table, which we all thought we were doing when we went to this model, and it lasted a year. How do we get back to the idea that they invest in the system, it's going to help them achieve one of our mutual objectives, because that was a mutual objective of the administration. But in prior years, when we had something flowing in, there was at least a bit of an offset so that the reduction wasn't as dramatic as it is when everything's going out and nothing's coming in. And frankly, without anything, unless I start, for me personally, start laying off a lot more people, my employees won't see a pay raise for the next decade. And I can't handle that when other courts are getting resources to open facilities, expand services, and get pay raises. It's just counterintuitive to a branch-wide perspective that we're going to tear down another piece at the expense. I mean, when does that end?
So, because I'm slow, I'm going to say in what I think you just said. I think what you're proposing is that for existing funds, there be no movement.
In years where there's no money.
Right. Well, so I'm looking at it in two different pieces. That for, yes, yeah, in years where there's no money, there's no movement at this point that we say we've already reallocated 66%. We're within, you know, some kind of a range. When there's new money, then we start talking about how we would reallocate the new money. And it could go from the extreme that every dime goes to the underfunded courts to bring them up to that we match dollar for dollar to bring them up or whatever.
And I think matching is appropriate because we still need to close the related gap. And I'm not convinced they're going to give us $200 or $300 million, which in and of itself would make a substantial hit. So I think we are going to have to, I think matching is a way to do that.
So let me break down a couple of the pieces of this that are going on, see if we can kind of nail down some. We want to make sure this happens. We want to make sure that happens. We've talked about a range of relativity from one court to another, and whether that's a 10% range or, you know, a 7%, whatever that is. There's a range that has been suggested that we all work towards to be within. That's one piece. The other thing is to, in years where we don't have any new money, to keep things as even as possible given all the other factors that we deal with. So those are the two that I've heard that are pretty specific. Do we want to, and to separate the conversation between existing money, can we use existing from now on, existing money and new money. Do we want to kind of put a stake in the ground with anything yet? Do we want to say, yes, a range makes sense? Do we want to say, yes, in years there's no money, we're going to just tread water and try and keep things moving forward? Or is it premature yet?
I want to throw out just two things, which is not an answer to your question, but I think that not only when we're talking about new money going to trial courts and they, you know, need them desperately, but whether or not there's some infrastructure issues for trial courts that get at least put on the table as a principle when there's enough. I think what's important about sort of what's important about that chart is that if everybody, all 58 counties agree as a principle that we should get the same amount, whatever the percent is, then it shows sort of where the outliers are. There's a whole bunch that are kind of close in, and there are a few, which I don't have it in front of me, but you saw them quickly as outliers either up or above. So I think that trying to figure out how to deal with those outliers by not bringing the high courts down, you know, too quickly, but the goal is to try to raise them up, the other bottom up, but try to do, if we get new money, get those courts that are way down up closer, faster, whether matching or something else. But there may be infrastructure needs that benefit the entire trial court And by talking about those, I think that that makes sense that we're not just thinking about ourselves.
What
but
do you mean by infrastructure?
Because
I don't see that as part of the funding methodology chart. So if
okay.
you're talking about things like the IGNA account and facility maintenance and things like that, that's kind of with other committees, right?
Okay.
And that's what BCP's, that's why I actually really like how the branch has changed the BCP process where, you know, different groups look at different needs and then they submit them together and then they get prioritized by different committees and then they go to the council and they do the final.
I guess what I'm thinking of is there are some abilities probably to do with the smaller courts, sort of some co-management type things that just, and this is more of a question for COs than anything else, and because you guys know the details and not me, but it is hard, for example, we tried to have a co-financial officer with another county, and it really was sort of a nightmare. I mean, one county hired, the other was doing work, the other county didn't like the work the person was doing, the one county was still hooked to pay their piece of it, and to somehow make a, and it may not be a lot of money, but sort of just some monies that are available sort of for some cost-saving exploration type thing.
I actually think the small courts could really benefit from doing more collaboration, the smaller, medium courts to do a lot of collaboration because you don't have the funds, and I don't think you'll ever get the funds to hire, you know, a top-of-the-market IT guy, an HR person, and finance person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that the incentive would really be from the funding level.
Yeah. And the hard part when we're trying to do some of those things, but it is hard from a not other regionalization or other things, but how do you do that in a management way that makes because you still want even if you're small, medium, whatever, you still want to be 58 independent, you know, court kind of things, and so you know who gets control. It just seems to me that it's as a topic and not a big amount of money, but if we were to talk about some new money going towards trial court branch and infrastructure, maybe the wrong word, but some kind of innovation that and maybe it's better controlled somewhere else. But I think that if we're trying to say to the governor and the legislature, we are really trying as a branch to look at all of those things, and there are barriers to those things, and that if that causes, because it's in this calculation, that some money goes over here for that it makes sense. Now, it's hard.
Would it be an innovation grant?
Well, I don't know. I mean, and, you know, again, as I say it out loud, it's, you know, all the CEOs are like, that's a really bad idea. But, I mean, in some way, I think that if we're talking about us as a branch being bigger than 58 courts, then we have to look at ways, I think some ways to say we aren't just always talking about, you know, where the dollars fall, but that there may be other types of things. And there may be other things like other counties may be in a position that they got into to sort of no fault of their own. It was a historical kind of we ended up here because, and that there are monies to make some adjustments in different ways. And maybe that's not here, and you know, and maybe that's some other place. But I just think that we really need to look like we're looking, you know, past ourselves. And not, and when I say it, I'm not just saying money to go to small. I mean, it sounds like when I have time to open my mouth, I say, you know, those things. I don't mean that. I think that the hard part is that, you know, if you've got a Costco in your place, you can buy apples at Costco for less than going to the farm stand where you have to go to get them. And if all you have is a farm stand, doesn't matter how much. I mean, you might buy them from Los Angeles and figure out a way to haul them up, and that may be the answer. But, you know, when you're in the moment trying to make everything work, it's hard to do that step back piece.
Judge, are you talking about, from, say, the infrastructure standpoint, permanent ongoing money or one-time grant money, or what's the concept?
Well, you know, I throw out something and then everybody tells me why it's not necessarily the greatest idea. I know I talked with Blocko on this. We talked about looking at infrastructure probably 2 or 3 years ago at some other meeting, and I don't know if there were other things that – but it's just that all trial courts may have a need that they could look at. And so, I mean, I throw out an idea that they get batted around, and if it's not a good one, I expect it to sink quickly.
Well, I'm trying to understand the concept. You're talking about permanent augmentation?
No, I'm talking about if there needs to be a sort of any court, not just small, you know, medium, but anything that needs to sort of be looked at that's not another place, that it's definitely trial court, that there would be, you know, when we're putting this together to say, if we get new money, if we're talking about principles, if we get new money, we're gonna allocate 5% or 10% of that new money to the lowest funded courts to bring them up quicker, and we're asking for a match to get them, you know, from the bottom. We're looking at where then everybody else gets what they're getting, and those that are higher get none or less or whatever we're going to do. And then, as part of it, that we want also to have the ability, if we get what we want, to be able to look at collaboration issues between, you know, all courts or whatever that would be. That would be, you know, one-time money that would have to be able to be ongoing with their existing Waffen grant. I just think it allows us then to kind of be beyond ourselves in the moment and get to a different sort of place. And, you know, some of that stuff's happening by necessity, but it's hard.
So I'm noting that for the new money conversation for collaboration efforts, or we can call it infrastructure issues or something like that. Did you have any questions, Sam?
I just had a comment in looking at the smart board issue that it seems that if there was some way that the small courts could somehow benefit from economies of scale in a way, like Sherry was saying, to be able to afford to do more with and benefit more with the resources that we have. You know, I just kind of would compare it in a way. Riverside is, in many ways, a series of small courts. Courthouses have a lot of unique personalities about themselves, but yet we're all one court and we benefit from the economy of scale. I don't really know how, I don't have a plan to do it, but if there was just some way that some different type of delivery of clerk of court services could be developed that would address this issue for small courts, I think it would be great.
Well, there is, and we've completely gone away from it and refused to talk about it since the 1960s. And those are circuits or districts.
In the 1960s too?
No, they have legislative reports.
Oh, all right.
But those are circuits or districts, which other states do. And that is, I mean, that is the hill to die on, and I get it, and I'm reluctant to even talk about it. But those very discussions about economies of scale and how do we take advantage of it and leverage it has been on the table for 50 years.
Before I went to the federal court, I was the trial court executive for 9 counties in Utah. So,
well, North Carolina, when we consolidated, is 100 counties, 30 Superior Court districts.
Yeah. So can I take us back to this document just
because
I have a question?
Yes.
So, Peter, did you use old or new Waffen measurements? I'm sorry, RAS measurements?
Old.
Because I think, didn't the council decide that they were going to apply the new
for
1819. I'm just curious, could we see what it would look like if we both did this and plugged in the new?
We don't have it.
Okay. Yeah, okay, because that may make these numbers very different. Because I saw the before projected Waffen with the new measurements and the old ones, and that's when courts were surprised because they changed.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
So we, in front of us now, we have the calculations at the 75% leveling. And so again, before we jump too far into this, is there anybody who wants to say, you know, let's put a pin in the fact that we do want to range, or we do want to talk about existing separate from new, or should we table that, look at this, and come back? Anybody feel strongly about that?
Well,
I guess I think this is informative to that discussion, right?
Okay.
I mean, because what this says is, yes, it has the other, you know, the new RAS numbers will change some percentage,
yeah,
but I don't know that it's going to change the fact that you have some courts that would be dark red and some courts that would be bright green. The color scheme that's on here, for those on the phone, dark red is over 20% reduction and bright green is.
Well, I thought that too, except there was a 17 that
10%.
Was, yeah, Trinity, 17 is red, too, it's kind of lighter red.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and it's a, just keep in mind, I mean, this is a very quick, and so we'll come back and, you know, I don't want to make decisions off of this document.
Yeah.
No, it's just,
yeah,
but it's
a lesser.
Exactly.
an illustration. And if it gets posted, I guess my one comment, because it's one of the things to get posted online, right? It's something that says that on whatever gets posted. This is just illustrative. It was just an example. It's not something that anyone is saying this is what's going to happen.
Put giraffe deliberative purposes, because really, it was.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want people to get concerned that all this means that we're saying we're going to touch current or.
So as compared to the range that we talked about, this takes us all to a particular point. Although I see there's a handful that are not at that point. Is that funding for folks?
Yeah. Okay. The way this works is we sort of paid for the fund. If you look at the funding floor court in the change column, you'll see that there's no change. So they're sort of paid for already. We may want to think about this more carefully in the future, but. So the so they see no change in their allocation. The other courts, we work out what their allocation is to be the statewide average, and then we calculate the difference. That's in the change column, and then you'll see that the adjusted ratios. I'll change these column headings for the published version so that they're understandable. Adjusted ratios are now all fixed at 75%, except for floor courts. And the change column, sorry, that's maybe not labeled as best as it could be. The value in the change column, so for Alameda, 4.2 million, that's that divided by their total allocation before the floor at the moment. So it's kind of giving you a sense of the scale of the change. What it shows is that there's some very significant changes for some courts, and much more moderate changes for many courts.
One question, just to confirm, you didn't go back through and re-review the floor. You're just marking those that were at the funding floor this year.
Yeah.
So an example is, I'm pretty sure Trinity, based on what's on here, but
right.
Not that reduction, it would hit the funding floor and a few others. So,
yeah.
I mean, again, this was just a real quick, so we can see it today. So.
Yeah.
But I think that one thing that's pretty clear is, so at my count, there's 13 courts that are pink or red, which is a significant drop in funding. If we all go to a specific point, that's 22% of the state.
What is significant and probably a positive that can be looked at in terms of saying how Waltham has worked is the very clear majority of courts that are in the 0.7 ratio, to 0.79. So you don't have a lot of movement that's going to happen with the majority of the courts if you go to a 75 level. I think that's the number that just strikes out at me. The first number is 0.7 in some range. So that is interesting to see.
Yeah, and that, as Blocko was mentioning, I think that is the progress that we've achieved over the 5 years.
5 years ago, the disparity was much bigger. So the fact that Waltham has, based on the presentation yesterday, moved more centrally to the current average funding level.
And if you go ahead and look at, if you took a 10% range, 5% above of those courts in the green, the other funded, or the courts that have still been in need to get to that level, only five of those are out of that 5% range difference. That means that we brought up an awful lot of the courts that have been severely or under-resourced. So we made progress there. So
to me, that would mean, however we work this, we wouldn't have to really accelerate bringing those courts that are under-resourced up by really disadvantaging some of the courts that are above the line, which I think I had 17. That you don't want to see them be hit hard. So
I want to clarify my statements about a range, because when I'm talking about a range, I'm really talking about when you are making allocation changes.
Right.
Not that we're saying that we accept that we're okay with being 5% above or 5% below. I mean, if we're trying to deal with stability, and one of the criticisms is it's not stable, and we have fluctuations, that if we decide, it doesn't seem like that's where we're going, but if we were to decide that every year we're going to look at 100% of everyone's money and we're going to do this exercise of everybody gets whatever the percent fund is, the branch is, or the trial force are, that's what you get. Well, then we would, I think, want to look at some range that, well, if it's plus or minus 5% change, you wouldn't have any shuffling because otherwise it's just too much shuffling from year to year. But that only really matters if we're reallocating money either every year or every X number of years,
I think,
right?
You have to do it every year. Honestly, I think you can't we will have another problem that we tried to fix under WAFM if we don't stay committed to looking at the adjustments. I think we can wrap policies around them, like having a range, not moving more than X percent. You know, there has to be policies around if we're going to do that. That's, you know, not the other approach. But I just think it's harder if you do it every other. I think there has to be a commitment that there will be the adjustment so that if somebody is way out of whack one way or the other, and we put a policy around that will never be more than, I'm making this up, but, you know, 1.5%, whatever it is, there will be progress made rather than wait for 2 years and then it's 3%. Because the thing that surprised me is how people are not as prepared, perhaps, as what's coming. It's just surprised me on both sides.
It's not a matter for some. It's not a matter of being prepared. It's a matter of this on top of all the stuff.
I got it.
But the other side of that is you've got, of course, like Kern County that started this process with like 40% of funding of their needs, and they have been like that for decades, and now this is starting to equalize things, and they've gone through the same 10-year, not completely the same as what Mike said, but economic hard times as every other court has, and I don't know that we should be satisfied with saying that they should always be so perpetually underfunded in comparison to other courts. We're all underfunded.
And I apologize, because I didn't mean this. My own.
I'm actually not disagreeing with you.
I know. I was just kind of apologizing to the group because I'm not being critical. It's just that it's incremental adjustments tend to be easier to understand than to wait. And so
that's kind of a separate issue. And I agree with you. I think what we're talking about is two different things. One, we're talking about do we want to have a band where if everybody's within that band around the state average, then just that's kind of the margin of error. And I think we ought to. But do we want to do that forever, or do we want to do that while we're transitioning to full equitable funding? And then the other thing is, do we want to have a limit on the changes? And I think that's reasonable to do that.
I'm actually going to break it down even more simply than that, because I see the ban as a softening of movement,
period.
And so to me, the question is, are we committing to movement on an annual basis, a regular basis, or are we trying to only make movement when happens when there's new money? And so I have a question for John and Jody, is there a message sent on either position that either strengthens or weakens our advocacy by not moving?
I think to the extent that, I think the administration, if this group decides to shift away from our current, I think their reaction will probably be one of, the branch has been saying quite loudly for a few years now that it's really having trouble, and now they're figuring out how to make adjustments to try to survive. I think that would be the reaction from the administration. Whether or not it would be enough for them to say we need to make a change in giving them additional money, I kind of doubt it with this administration, quite frankly.
I do too.
But I do think that they see it as folks have been saying they're struggling. They're trying to make things work within. They might even interpret it as, hey, it's working. they're doing what they need to do to try to live within budget. That might be one of the reactions of this administration. Next administration, who knows? But when part of the strategy the administration I think uses is they tighten down and they see change within an entity. And within this branch, I think their reaction would be the one of they've been saying that they've been struggling, and it's obvious that they're trying to do things to make it work.
Jody, would you add anything to that?
So the question is WASM formula versus like splitting whatever money you have equally across all courts. I think because this branch committed to WASM to totally abandon that and do it this way, I think there are pros and cons to that. One of the cons will be if every court is at 75%, but every court deals with the 75% differently, there will be criticism. It'll be the same criticism as we hear today where, okay, why are some courts closing, others doing X, Y, Z? It still doesn't achieve the ultimate goal of child court funding, where you're trying to ensure that, you know, the citizens of California, if they go to Mono, whether they go to Mono or San Francisco or L.A., their experience is supposed to be the same. That was one of the goals of child court funding, and you're still not ever going to achieve that.
I agree, but that's a criticism based on the fact that we have 75%, not 100% of what's needed, and there are courts that never got to open that branch court because they never have the funding to do it. Now that another court's having to close it, somehow that means they should never lose one.
It's the criticism of decentralized management. Because you have two exact copies, the same amount of money, and the decision-making process could be 100% different. And unless we're prepared to completely abandon that, there is no way we will ever achieve equal to equal.
Well, I'm not sure I agree, and that's because I lived 20-plus years in the federal system. And they had decentralized budgeting, they had decentralized personnel, they had decentralized, I mean, we got a chunk of money and we could have hired 3 people at very high salaries or 100 people at very low salaries. The difference is we were fully funded. Well, we didn't think we were. I used to think I wasn't until I came here, and it's starting to look pretty generous at this point. But my point is when you are more fully funded, you do look a lot more the same. You still have the same guidelines as to what your principles are, and I actually think that the judicial council did a good job of articulating guidelines without directives. But we were different. Idaho certainly looked different than Cal Central, which was mine in California. While the types of cases look different, when you have enough money, you're able to provide services. So I do think it really is the fact we're underfunded, because if we were all fully funded, we wouldn't have lines. We would be opening courts. We'd be making different decisions. It really is a relationship to being 75% funded or less.
The pro to this, though, is that it really highlights the percentage of the underfunding.
Yeah.
Much more clear than the methodology we have today.
So,
yeah. And I think there are huge advantages to that.
Yeah, if you take that, following up on what you're saying, Jody, and now you have a 75% baseline, and everybody's there. But still, even at 75%, we have the situation where Mike's got to close courtrooms in San Diego County. Sherry can't have people going to El Monte or wherever for UD. That's a function of 75%, and I don't know would the administration and the legislature be so hung up on the fact of how we got everybody to a 75% level, or the fact that here's what we don't have when you leave us at only 75%? And I don't know that the legislature, at least the ones that we deal with, who are all attorneys from our area, they don't. That's not a distinction that makes a big deal to them.
I agree.
I'm sorry, Mike. You were next.
No, I think Mike's point is that I agree with is that we're not going to get to where we're standardized. It's a standardization issue.
No, it's not standardization.
Hold it, Sherry. But excuse me a second. Then the feds, didn't you kind of have the same classification system for all
the
courts?
No, people want to say that during the Futures Commission, but it's not true.
What about the same retirement plan?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so.
But classification, there were benchmarks, and you could use those benchmarks and create positions that have, that met your.
All right, which we don't even have.
Yes, we have benchmarks.
State system?
Yes, we have benchmarks in the branch. We still use them.
No, we don't.
What do you call the positions that were forced to use on the Schedule 7A? What do you call the positions? I've seen the benchmark.
All that is the reporting template that you have to force fit your position into. If there's no relationship to reality.
The model classification. That's a benchmark.
I think that's not a requirement.
A description of a benchmark to me is a performance issue, not title of the classification.
Benchmark is what you take a position with the knowledge, skills, and abilities.
I'm thinking that the wording used as benchmark is in performance. I thought when you were asking about benchmarks,
benchmark
you're talking
in
about
terms
operational
of
performance.
Benching. Placing a position
into
with knowledge, skills, and positions as a benchmark in terms of complexities and everything else, and how do you pay them relative
but
to
not,
that?
But they're not uniform across the state of California.
They're not uniform.
That's the problem. Here's the other comment I wanted to make in is that it's kind of like we're caught between a rock and a hard place. The administration is saying, where's the house burning down? And we got houses burning down. But we're putting out the fire ourselves. We're putting out our own fire, right? And so the question is, do we get punished for that, or do we get credit for that? And that seems to me the dilemma.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Sherry, again, just thinking back on it, I never worried about retirement expenses. Each clerk's office was a hiring entity. And judges work a lot for judicial assistants. All the people regard themselves as federal employees. They got federal holidays off. They got to participate in the federal retirement program. Now, I think that's, to me, a huge distinction because our employees are
software
employees.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Individually.
Yeah.
How many times do you guys sit down at the table and negotiate union contracts?
Never.
Yeah.
The closest thing would be an individual contract for a contractor or an interpreter or something like that.
I think there are just some, we're going back to debating things that we debate all the time. The system we have is the system we have. There are committees set up, there are commissions set up to talk about whether we should change it, and the emphatic answer coming out of each of those is no, this is the decentralized system we want to have, and I think it's ours anymore. So at some point, we've got to accept the fact that that then brings with it challenges in how we ultimately deliver service in our different counties, and that's the reality. We keep debating it, but every time it comes up as an issue, every committee, every commission that's looked at it says we should do it differently, and it gets resoundingly, negative commented out, right? So it is. So we have to get to the point where we're saying we are different. We're going to decide at what point where we are now is we are in a city that has an area that has gone into disrepair and has a redevelopment district established in order to improve the quality of the buildings and the streets. And we have another district in the city that is starting to crumble. And we have a choice that we say, well, do we make sure that the city that is starting to crumble doesn't crumble any further, but the one that's already somewhat degraded is going to stay where it's at? Or do you force the other area of the city to go to the same level of degrade, right? That's the decision we're kind of making. That's the decision we had to make back 5 years ago, and we decided that it wasn't that distinct. It was we had Beverly Hills and we had
you know, some area subject to redevelopment, right? And we were saying, well, that's too far distance. We don't want that. We want things to be a little bit closer to the same. And we're at a point now where we have to decide, do we want to continue to force that where everybody's the same? And courts that have been a little better off now are broken. And I totally understand Mike's point about if you have 10 years of cuts, at some point you just can't, you know, you fall down below the group that was sort of making do and surviving. And that's the decision we have to make. Some of the other points are true. We're never going to do things the same. We decide, are we going to chop off a leg or are we going to chop off an arm? And some people decide to chop off a leg and some people decide to chop off an arm.
So the fundamental question that we have to start with is, do we want things to continue to move forward at a regular pace or do we want to wait for new funding? Well, and the thing is, okay, so we all represent however many courts are in this room and we represent those that are not in this room. So collectively, we know what is out there. So do we want to keep things moving forward? And what that looks like, I'm not even suggesting at all. But do we want to keep things moving forward? Or do we feel like we need to only move them forward when we have new funding available? We have to answer that question. It has to get to a point where it's a yes or no. And all these other things absolutely factor into why we think that. But at the same time, that becomes the question. We have to decide, are we going to move forward on a regular basis and start creating a framework around that, or are we going to wait for new funding to do that and create a framework around that?
I think we have to move forward. I don't think we can't stop. Is it going to be painful? You know, it's painful for me this year. You know, it'll be painful probably next year unless there's no money. But, Mike.
I haven't heard anyone abandon the idea that we all ought to be at equity. And I do believe we need to continue moving forward. I'm just not sure we can continue moving forward the way we've been moving in the last 5 years.
I don't think anybody agrees with that. And, you know, I'm anticipating something that looks different than the last 5 years. But to start that, we have to decide whether it's going to be something that moves forward on an annual basis, every 2 years, every time we get new money. I mean, we have to pick a line in the sand.
So I have a suggestion.
Okay.
It'd be crazy. I'll try another one. So what if we look at it in two separate ways? One is if we get new money, then 50% of all new money goes only to those courts that are under the average.
So we said we were going to talk about new money.
But it has to go together. So let me explain.
That's exactly where I was thinking.
So 50% of all new money goes only to those that are below average. 50% of all new money goes based on their workload or, I mean, again, we have open an issue of are we sticking with this way to calculate work, but that based on workload, 50% goes to everybody based on their proportional share of workload. So you're bringing those that are below up faster, but everybody gets a little bit of new money to pay for. I mean, everybody has expenses, so saying 100% of it goes to those that are under the average is, you know, you're going to flip some points. And then we say that we are going to calculate what it would take to move everybody to an equalized level of funding, or we have to deal with some exceptions about, you know, what do you deal with courts that only have $1 million and it says they're going to go to 800,000? I mean, that's a problem that still exists. And we're going to do it in 3 years. So, and we said before that we weren't going to solve this whole problem on the backs of ourselves, that the other two branches of government had to help. That's why we picked 50%. So we would get 50% of the way there, but they had to help the other way. If we pick 3 years, that means that around this table, there doesn't feel like a lot of hope that the current administration is going to rescue us from this situation. You don't really want to give the brand new administration, here is a deadline ultimatum in their first year of being in office. So you pick 3 years because it's the second year. If they help us out in the intervening 2 years and they're giving us money, then it doesn't become this big of a hit. If they don't, then we're saying we do it in one fell swoop. We rip off the Band-Aid 3 years from now. Everybody can know where they're going to be. And then we talk about after that 3 years, how do we do an annual allocation where there's a range that you don't move if you're plus or minus 5%.
That kind of speaks to what Sherry said yesterday about the 75%, 25% kind of an issue. It's a little bit different take on it, but I agree with you.
Yeah, so I actually kind of like it because what you're saying is you're saying we've structured a plan for us to get to 75%, which people should be embarrassed about funding us at, but okay. It costs you this much each year. If you don't get us there, we will do it. But you know what's going to happen a year before? We won't do it. That's what my worry is.
When I look at some of the Band-Aids, you're talking about an arm and a leg for certain people.
And,
and there's no way to get around that because that, where we, you know. Okay, so we take a, I fundamentally like the idea of, I'm not sure that the drop dead date, if we don't do it, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off, addresses the problem. Because, again, you're going to give courts a 2 or 3 year hiatus and then you're going to drop them off the cliff again.
That's the problem.
And I guess my answer to that is,
I think a lot of this could have been better handled if we had the ability to have reserves and glide a little bit. At that point, you just do what the counties used to do to us, and that is you drop us off a cliff 1 year and then bring us back up. You drop us off a cliff, and no amount of planning in the planet, if there's really no significant change, is going to find a way for San Diego to cut $10 million out of its budget at this point.
There's
no way.
I understand, but isn't that what we're saying? Ultimately, if what the message is that we hear from the other branches is you don't have equity, and we're saying, well, you don't give us enough money to have equity, part one. And part two is they're making it our problem. This is what we talked about five years ago. We are solving our own problem, and the ultimate issue is that we are at 75% of our need. And, you know, I've talked to John, I've talked to others. In government, you don't always get 100% of what you want, right? That's just the nature of the beast. But 75 is embarrassing for what we're trying to accomplish, and we take a lot of criticism. So at some point, maybe it shouldn't be our problem.
Well, it's embarrassing for us because we accept the premise of RAS and WAFM, and we can't get the administration to do that. So I'm not sure they would agree with that statement, Jake. They'd say you're getting what we can give you, and the fact that you don't think it's enough, because that's where we've got to continue, and editorial comment about getting them to also agree with us that 75% sucks.
So my issue is around the 3 years, you know, however you structure it, I think there has to be something gradual. For one thing, one of our principles says that there's going to be time to adapt. And 3 years, you know, unless you're, well, $8 million in 3 years is, frankly.
Besides that, if we're principled on a workload methodology, I think you need to make progress every year towards that goal. You can put principles around it and limit the adjustments, but it would be so much worse to put it on hold for 3 or 4 years, and then it could be putting people a lot farther away.
A question for Zvatko and Joey and John. I mean, again, WAFM is not the only reason for the problem. The problem is like retirement costs, things that are in arrear. Any hope that we can address those issues so that, like state government, those things are on time? Because that would go a long way towards helping the multifaceted problem of year-over-year reductions.
Yeah, I mean, we will raise that again with them.
But I mean, is there a way to talk about it in the context of what WAFM is doing?
Sure. You can talk about enhancements, but you're moving backwards on other base costs. I mean, over the last 5 years, they've funded $120 million of retirement and health benefit increases. That's been a substantial increase, separate and apart from. However, it's not done in a way that gets us a current year fix where other state agencies get that kind of thing. So it feels like they're giving us money, but they're not giving it in a way that really helps our financial sort of stability in the current year when we have current year adjustments. But, you know, from the administration's tally, when you talk about, you know, the 250, but we know we shorted us on the revenue, so we're talking about 233 net new there, and it's 120, and then there's been, to them, tallying up money, even if it's like one time, and with Prop 47 and, you know, realignment, I mean, they're adding up numbers that they think. And I think you hit it on the head. We can have our perception of what the budget has done, their perception of the budget, despite our efforts to explain it to them, is still within, and I'll even echo John's about really guardians of the general fund. In terms of overall, I don't want to get into our time about advocacy here, but it's where we are as a priority. We can talk about the legitimate concerns that we have as a branch, but they see it in the context of the whole budget. They're going to give us, I think what we said, Mike, is what they're going to give us. How we take that and manage it and manage the message back with what we get is important. And so that's why I think we said earlier about how WAFM is a tool for advocacy in terms of demonstrating what we are as good stewards of the state dollars. But it is a tough side because DLF is more analytical. They're going to look at performance standards. They're going to look at more uniformity. They're going to look at the Chocolate Funding Act slightly differently than we will. Because we're going to talk about, you know, equity and access. They're going to look at more of the analytical side. The legislature, on the other hand, will be more open to the concept of the vulnerable populations and what it means to people. So we're having to manage two messages at the same time and gather that information, I think, and understand two audiences.
I have a question for Jake, and then I guess the group is that, so the 75%, we've already talked about how if everybody was at exactly 75%, then every year it's going to shift somewhere, you know, because of whatever changes are being made, and that's a lot of volatility. And so that's the whole concept of this range. So would it make sense to work towards the range, getting everybody in the range, rather than to a point in time? Number one, it addresses the sharp effects that it has on that 22% or 20% or whatever of the state, but it also allows us to say, hey, all our reports are within a 10% band, and it's a 75% average. I'm just wondering if that accomplishes the same thing, because if we were all at 75, we'd be talking about a range anyway of volatility, right? So getting everybody into that range rather than to that point might address more.
You could, as long as you continue to say that if new money comes in, that you're kind of
sure.
I'm
talking,
otherwise, you
right.
perpetuate always being.
And
you, if you end up at 71%, you're
yeah,
forever 71%. So as long as you continue to push that to an average, then you'd be fine.
I kind of had the same thought when we were talking. There's really only three courts. Now, these are the old weights, and so we don't know what it'll look like with the new weights, but there's only three courts that are in the 60s. And so maybe what we could even do is on the incremental changes is we say if you're beyond the range, you get a slightly bigger boost than if you're within the range, and then with the new money, we, you know, do whatever. But we even if everyone was up in the 70%, it would feel better, but we still have three that are in the 60s, and I can't even imagine it being 65% funded or 68% funded.
It was better than 45.
I'm sure it was, Jeff, but you should have never been 45, you know?
Can I just say that I think it's important that if we commit to equity as the main thrust, that I think we really can get all 58 courts to be committed to equity. The difficulty is obviously the devil's in the detail, and I think that getting the work we do to get a formula that is not constantly picked at as it goes forward, because that all, because I may be wrong about it, but you know, this is the first year we didn't get any money, and it was a year where people were really picking at WAFM.
And I'll say, going back to this point about what does the budget tally look like, we're saying we didn't get money. In the minds of others, $22 million for Dependency Council,
yes.
$10 million.
Right.
In the minds of those, it goes to the 0250 our org code. So we see the dollars coming in.
They're looking at it.
So, again,
how much of the total check we wrote.
But as far as
branch, yeah. Regardless of the different pieces it was
but
for.
As far as trial courts, once we start sort of that infighting.
Trial courts. Of the appropriators and the proposers, they see it as the total in that line item.
But when we were trying to ask for money to come through the WAFA model, it was a year where we were picking at it, and so it was easy for them to kind of say, you know, so I do think it's important that we move along to try to get, I mean, not all 58, but maybe the majority. So really, having the conscientious review of the formula, you know, each piece of it and talk about it, which may be redone a little bit, but really trying to make sure that every court gets heard in that process that we have created. But the other part is that, and I may be wrong about this as well, which I'm sure I'll hear quickly, but it isn't that they said that the trial courts can't have reserves, we just can't hold them individually. Is that something we could create? Because my feeling is that if there was a bit of a commitment of what would happen, that if, in fact, there was money past the 1% that went back to a reserve held by the branch to be reallocated to folks, one-time money type of things, as opposed to just using them within our, whether or not and we talked about before, holding that identified for those same courts or not. But it just seems to me that there may be monies that are being spent down that might be able to benefit some of the courts that are
really there, because on one hand, if you're only 75% funded, how do you increase your savings?
If
I don't have enough money to make it to the end of the month, how do I create a savings account?
Well, that's what they said before when we had reserves. Like, I guess part of it is that
I don't think we did a good job, to be quite honest, Jody, in explaining what the reserves were for. I had that conversation when Ron Overholt was here, and I don't think we did a good job. Maybe they weren't listening, but I don't think we did a good job explaining GATSB and what the requirements were and what they were for. I think we've done a better job now, because now we've got money that's excluded from the one time. But I don't believe at that time we did a very good job of saying, wait a minute, you're looking at it as if it's discretionary money. It's not. It's child care waiting room. It's contracts that are in 3 years, whatever it was. Looking back, I wish we would have done a better job.
But you know what? On that point, we brought in six CEOs to
we
the
did.
Local it wasn't
when was that? What year was that?
And it was Jack was there,
yes.
And Stephen, and David, and
absolutely.
Mike.
Absolutely.
It
wasn't
our explanation.
It was explaining that.
Our collective explanation.
Well,
but it's important that there's a sense that maybe
yeah,
something wasn't
explained.
It is. We have tried hard.
Really
but
hard.
Again, this is where we get caught up in the larger political thing. This is a governor who wiped out redevelopment agencies, wiped out reserves for school districts, which is the big issue, and we just happen to be another agency in his purview. I think we got caught up in a general trend that this governor decided was going to be the way he was going to do
it. The danger for our branch also was during the greatest fiscal crisis this country and our state ever faced, and we were being cut, the reserves were growing.
Right.
So it goes back to when I say that I don't have enough money to make it till the next paycheck, yet I am putting money away in savings. How do you explain that to somebody?
Credibility issue with our story in that we were talking about devastating cuts. And fund balances were growing.
Yes.
But
over $150 million. How do you do that?
You can't.
So we need to. Okay, let's come back. Let's come back for a second. So I'm gonna try and focus this factor. Is there anybody who thinks that we need to continue to explore a point in time calculation of a 75% change overnight or over a period of time where we're getting to a single point?
I think we have to have it as we talk about the components as we go forward. I don't think we're going to say, do this, and I'm not sure. I mean, Jake did say it out loud, but 3 years Band-Aid.
So I guess the reason for my question is, for staff, do we need to have them come back with, for instance, a sample range calculation of the same adjustment into a range of some sort see the difference between
I think what Sherry said, if you identify need to identify those courts that are under 70. I mean, it's very simple to identify those. So I think if we're breaking it out into those components, you can do it with this as a basis and then explore how we would want to deal with the new monies going forward based on that level. Yes.
Although I don't have confidence in this, because when I saw the
right
before and after rate, it did flip forward.
Right.
So
they're not in a place where they can.
If it's not too hard with the new rate.
When we can get the new rate, it's certainly going to be more accurate.
Yeah. Plug them in.
Can someone explain to me, what are you talking about with the under 70 concept?
Are
you satisfied?
Process of incremental change, we might treat those outside of the range at a higher spending level.
Okay.
That's all.
No, that's fair. So we're kind of graduating the resolution, but
yes.
We're getting to the resolution.
Yes, yes.
Identifying the greatest need and bringing that up at a different rate than others.
Okay, so I'm going to go back.
Jake's suggestion on the new levy for a second, just to make sure I understand the proposal that has been thrown out, is on the new money, there's no matching component. It's just the 50% goes towards the bottom and comes up, and the other goes to everybody. Is that right?
I think that the matching component was a good idea at the time, but I think it complicates people's understanding of what's going to happen to them, and it complicates it. So things are harder to know. Well, how much money are we going
to
get?
It's harder to
And then how much of that am I going to have to match out of? It makes it really complicated. Because new money, we allocate the new money, and we deal with existing money some other way. But I think the matching is just causing way too much confusion at the point of people being able to pick at something. It's just something that it's confusing. It's hard to predict.
I agree.
It's gotten us to
the legislators. They think we should deal with with the reallocation, but the message is we're going to give you money and we hear our courts going down.
Right.
And it's confusing to them.
How did new money come in and then San Diego lost money? You know, it wasn't San Diego. We had a court last year. I can't remember who it was. It was one of the smaller ones, so there was new money. Every new additional dollar that came in, they actually lost 50 cents. So that's hard to explain.
Well, that's why, because you're doing a percentage of plus the match.
Yeah.
But my point is, if you split it out, rather than saying we all get our proportional share of all new dollars.
Somebody could lose money even when they got money.
Right. So instead of doing that, you say, well, we're going to start out X percent. I'm just saying 50% because it's an easy number, right? 50% of new money goes to those that are below the average, period. If you're above the average, you don't get any proportional 50%. And then 50% of it goes, based on your proportional share to everybody. And that means when new money comes from the legislature, everybody gets something. And those that you're basically creating a match without going backwards, right?
And it's simple.
It's easy to explain, and that's what we did for dependency council. And accepted it, and it's been a good way to bring courts up that were below average. And
it's really hard to describe what we do now.
So as the legislature appropriates money, oftentimes that's tied to a very specific purpose. And so let's just say we get $80 million for whatever purpose here, they expect it to be done on a statewide basis. And what I think I'm hearing is if new money's coming in, then it's going to get doled out to those who are at the lower end of the funding spectrum. But the expectation from the legislature will be whatever they doled out that $80 million for, it's going to be done on a statewide basis.
So what we've done in the past, and you defined it before, was that new money in this concept is new unallocated.
Okay.
Fair enough. If they just make sure $50 million for veterans for us, we're going to argue, please don't give us $50 million for veterans for us because I already have one, so what am I going to get? Nothing.
Right.
And so we try to argue against that so that the money comes in and we're able to distribute it.
So unallocated.
Correct.
So if it comes over.
I think one of the dangers, though, is on those funds that are committed, sometimes we can't follow through because we don't have the infrastructure behind it because of the lack of unallocated funds. So I think that's something that needs to be.
You're talking about like collaborative courts,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So right now we're looking at in two pieces of an allocation method. One, existing money to be distributed either to a range or a point in time over an unspecified period of time right now, and new money to be distributed at separate levels depending on where you are on the list.
Now, wait, you're talking about new money.
New money. Are there any other pieces of this? Because we can delve into this further, or can we delve into this further?
You can speak.
Oh, go ahead.
I think I'd like to offer this because I think it plays off of what John said, is what is the understanding and expectation of the legislature? And I think that we should take a bit and come back at the next meeting with what have been equalization models in government. That the state hasn't, I mean, there has been equalization issues in health, equalization issues in education for years. And I think those are concepts that folks understand. And so if we were to say how they've done that, I mean, we've heard from folks, you only do equalization with new money. We've heard that from some folks. Why are you taking your existing money and I mean, there are different ideas, and I think it just would benefit the group here what, you know, a couple of other examples are of how equalization has occurred in the state of California and how the budget is managed there. Because I think it would be worthwhile looking into those as ways to bolster our argument, because they had political reasons why they did it that way too, because of like holding harmless concepts or, you know, minimal harm or whatever, things like that. I think those would just be helpful. And they play along what we're talking about. It's just that they ground them in some examples that have occurred.
Everybody open to that? Okay. Is there anything else we can have as a discussion? I mean, it's only 9:15. We were scheduled to be here till noon, but I know we do need some materials back from staff. Are there any other pieces of the pie that we need to talk about before they can go back? And are there any other things we need to ask them? Yes. So I'll tell you what. Why don't we take about a five-minute break for those on the phone, and we'll be right back and see where we're at. Great. So the spreadsheets will be posted.
public. And Rebecca's doing such a great job without me being here. I'm going to hear my letter continue to do a great job, Rebecca.
Okay. So we have a concept that has been proposed, and I'm going to summarize it. And so, Jake, please correct me if I don't have it right. But the concept number one is existing money should be distributed either to a range or point in time, and that is to be determined on the research that's being done by staff that will be brought back on September 18th with all of our other action items.
What do you mean, or a point in time?
I'm sorry, point in allocation. Not point in time. I just typed that, so I read it.
Yeah, but I think we gave that up, right? Did we?
We haven't taken a vote on anything.
Okay.
So it's either to a range or to a point.
Okay.
Thank you for the catch. And then new money would be distributed at separate levels based on where you were in the list of the allocation. Am I correct in that summary?
And that last one has to be either to a range or a point also, right?
Yeah, did we?
Was that correct?
But if you were to, so new money, if you were to split into two categories, some portion goes only to those that are below average.
And average some, funding level.
Right, average funding level, and some percentage goes to everybody based on their proportional share of
to a range
however
or to
need
a point.
Is defined. Yeah.
Okay, so that is a concept that Jake, that has been proposed by Jake. Are there any other?
Can I clarify? I would not say to a range. I think for new money, it has to be the average funding level.
Right.
Anybody below that, not to the lower point on the range.
Right.
Yeah.
That's your
and that's what has to be decided. But that what that'll mean is
no.
If
I'm
you
saying
are,
let's clarify it.
No, I agree, but what I'm saying is what that would mean is that if you were just barely outside the range, you go to the point where you're barely inside the range, you stay.
No, I'm saying that you would say if you're below average level of funding, period.
Period.
You would get this, I'm saying 50-50,
okay.
But that's, you would get,
yeah,
you would get a share of the 50-50.
Until you're at... go above it and stay within the range, the max you would get.
Okay, so let me reread that. Existing money to be distributed either to a range or to a point. Existing money.
Oh.
New money to be distributed at separate levels to an average funding level.
As a max.
I wouldn't do that.
Oh, I would. I wouldn't let it go above the average.
So you go above the average for next year.
No, I would say no.
So, Jake, if there's new money, would everybody get some of the new money?
Yeah.
My proposal just to have one is that 50% of all new money would be allocated to anyone who is under, who is below the average level of statewide funding.
The other 50,
and the other 50 would be allocated to everybody based on their work.
So everybody would get some new money. Those under would get more new money than those above.
Yeah.
And no match.
Okay.
Right. With no match. Okay. So that is... Concept one.
Allocated
100%. Is there any other concepts that we want to throw out there to compare?
So for the existing money, I do think that we need to have incremental adjustments every year with policies around them that you get. And I don't know what the percentages are, and we could have staff maybe look at that. But if we said whatever the band is, and I'll use Jake's 10% band just because that's what we've been talking about, but if you're outside the 10% band, it might be that your adjustments are going to be no more than 1% a year or something so that there's predictability and some stability and things like that so you don't wildly vacillate. But I think that we need to be doing adjustments every single year based on workload so that minor adjustments are occurring until we get new money so that if we go through a drought, we're not going to try to make it up or get back to the point we were when we started walking in the first place.
So I put that as a second concept, but obviously they could dovetail into each other if everybody agrees with that.
Sure.
Any other concepts?
Nothing.
So we're going to focus on those three areas. Do we want to talk a little bit about the three-year idea that Jake had with the rip the Band-Aid approach versus a principle around an incremental?
I want to say I like, actually, the reason why I like it is because...
Which one?
the rip the bandage off at some point in time, whether it actually politically happens or not. And the reason for that is that I think what the proposal we just talked about and the point in time where we're just going to do it because it's the right thing is that it motivates everybody to go to their legislature and say to the governor, don't put this off if you care about the courts at all. I mean, it's easy to say, well, we care about other things more than that. That may be the case. But I think that it motivates everyone, even maybe the ones that are going to would lose the most, because now the kind of the stalling means that they get to hang out. And I don't think they're not doing it like to hurt anybody else, but they're basically it's good for their court and good for their constituents, so they want to hang on to that piece. And so there's not so that creates more differences between as opposed to giving us all a common goal to talk about those things. So I do think that whether we set it 3 years or whatever else, but that we as a concept say that there needs to be a point in time where it will be driven by workload and it will be within, you know, we'll talk about volatility, but there is a time that that's going to happen, that we can't perpetually have those hanging out so low and those perpetuating, you know, hanging out so high because it's historic. And it's awful and terrible, but I think we need to say it so that folks can be in their advocacy consistent.
I think we need to revisit the issue, and that maybe ought to be part of the recommendation. But as we're learning, watching the news today, if we make a threat, we better be prepared to carry it out. And I don't think at the end of the day, given the devastation it would brought on a few people, that the branch could stomach that. And so I do think it's appropriate that we ought to get back. I just don't want to advertise the fact that there's a drop-dead date. If you don't do it, we're going to do it to ourselves.
And I guess the hard part is that if we don't, then I think it's what this committee recommends. And I think if we're committed to equity, that that's part of what we need to say. If the people that make the policies above this committee make other decisions for other reasons, you know, that's fine. But I think what it says instead is some of the counties that would be hit the most if this number's going to change are some that have some pretty good political clout. And so, you know, I think that the other piece about it, and it all kind of fits together, is I think part of the reason why we stay at this sort of 75% is there's a belief that our civil assessments, which are, you know, backfill the rest of it anyway. So if we address that part of the issue to say we're not getting backfilled anywhere now, but, you know, John pointed out when I talked to him yesterday that, you know, that sort of leaving us in the sort of whims of the general fund and the legislature for funding may be a, you know, kind of a precarious place to put ourselves, so we have to talk that through as well. But I think that, you know, that if in fact that part happens so that we aren't, you know, any way generating revenue that we keep ourselves, that then I think we can talk very much about getting past the 75% threshold where we are now.
So I'm just going to throw out there, and I'm going to step off my chair seat for just a moment, and as one of the courts that, you know, we did get involved in some of the advocacy this year, and we are one of the courts that's being brought down. But I think that I think there has been a lot of advocacy, and I don't disagree that we want to keep that advocacy going. And I think there needs to be an endpoint in sight. But with all due respect, if this is the political court, the courts that are connected politically, if they go off the cliff, then everybody will fix it. I don't think that's accurate. I think that is a misconception. And every court that is in the pink or the red, I think I saw at some kind of an advocacy type of an event. And so, you know, I think when I talk about time to implement, I talk about time to get to a contract that I can reopen. You know, sometimes you can't go and have a reopener just because something happens. I talk about time to restructure something in an expense area, time to deal with a revenue area that I need to build up, whatever the case may be. But the fact is that I'm not sure that that is enough to make the executive branch respond. And I completely agree with you that we need to continue to motivate everybody to go out there and be our advocates and be that voice. But I'm not sure that as one of the courts that had some involvement. I'm not sure that if we were to go off a cliff, that would have made a difference. And I would hate to see, you know, that 20% or so go off that cliff, and then what?
Well, so we had a discussion yesterday about if we didn't have this money, what we could do and what we couldn't do. So I understand that the concept about those that are in the red advocating, but those that are in the green need to advocate too. I mean, those folks that are getting money can be just as strong a voice to say, this isn't fair to us that we're getting money and other courts are losing it. And at the same time say, if we pull off the Band-Aid in 3 years, here's what's going to happen. In 3 years from now, we will not be in session on Fridays.
Well, and that's why I think it creates one voice, and I think that's the important part.
So no one has – I'm going to say I have not seen a judge work as hard as my presiding judge Buckley on advocating for the brand.
Right.
And we're a gainer. I have not seen anyone do more legislative visits. We've put more materials together, and we have been a spokesperson for the branch on why we're underfunded and have really tried to do a lot of work, and they don't care. I agree with Mike 100%. I think it's a mistake to make a threat we're not willing to do. If we're going to say it, we have to do it, and I've not been convinced that we ever do anything hard. So I think that my strong recommendation would be that we do it incrementally. People are going to feel pain even with the incremental approach. Because even if you put a policy around 1%, maybe it's 1% if you're within a certain part of the range, and maybe it's 1.5% if you're outside of, you know, I mean, you could even structure it where there's a little bit more adjustment for the three that are outside the 70%. But I just really think that we would not do it, and it would be a mistake, because then we've lost credibility, and I just can tell you I have never spent so much of my own personal time trying to put materials together for the grants than I did for this year, and it just is not working. It's not working.
Let me offer a little, conversation will go where it is on having a deadline or not, but one of the challenges we have, and over the past 2 years I've been lucky enough to be on the Judicial Council, so we hear the updates when council members go out and visit court. And they visit those courts, and they come back, and they give a presentation to the council about their visit. And for those courts that are on the coming down through the reallocation, the conversation about their visit usually goes something like, well, we talk to them, and, you know, Wacom is hurting them. And it's really bad because Wacom hurts them. And they lost more money this year because of Wacom. Wacom's bad, Wacom's bad, Wacom's bad. And you hear it, you know, over and over again in these presentations. And my concern would be if we at the longer we have a system that says we are going to take from one court to give to another, the longer, as Mike said, it's one component of all kinds of things that are going on in that court, but it's an easy thing to talk about. And it's an easy thing to say, well, because they're evolving from me, that model is bad. Even if in the back of their mind they're saying, well, what's bad about it is you're taking money from me. I'm not opposed to a workload-based model. I'm just opposed to you taking my money to give it to somebody else. But if we do 1% a year to bring everybody in line, and that's another decade of taking a little bit of money, then you have 20 years that San Diego has been slowly cutting their budget. And we need to recognize that that's a reality, and at some point, is it better just to say, we're going to throw it all in and we're going to be done, and it's going to be a painful year, but at least we're done.
I guess the concern is if you're done and you kill the patient, then you're
dead.
What you should have done is what concerns me.
Right.
Exactly.
I don't agree with that.
That's all. We've made progress, and we need to continue making progress, but I'm not sure we've made enough progress to jump off the cliff. I'd prefer to jump off a small hill.
Maybe we put on an action item that would revisit where we are in 3 years, you know, or 2 years or something like that. But I just think it's a really, bad idea. And I think we would even be accused as creating a crisis to get attention. I have spent more time this last year on these legislative advocacy work, and I just think it would be seen as a artificial crisis.
There has to be a touch point where we come back and look at this. And I think we need to advertise that, but putting that deadline and advertising that, I'm not sure the best move.
And I don't necessarily, I agree fundamentally with Jake, but I don't mind if it's something different. But I think the hard part is that as long as we have different places, then we always have when we're allocating, and those that are losing some money, the legislature and the governor looking at the branch saying, why aren't we giving them, if they're giving us money, I guess they could, if we're giving them this, why are there still courts that are still closing? That's still the conversation that's being had. And so, I mean, I do think that part of it needs to focus on, getting good money and dealing with it responsibly. And I recognize that, that we feel like it falls on deaf ears, and it will probably continue to do so. But I don't think that should change our resolve in trying to explain, what that really means, and really what it means. And maybe we don't say it's going to be 3 years, but that we look at what it would look like if we did it in 3 years, because the legislature might choose that they'd rather have us pull the bandage off in 3 years if they funded it, and have us quit yakking about it all the time. It'd have to be a good revenue year. There'd have to be a lot of factors in place. But I think they've got to get tired of the same argument. And maybe that's part of what happened this year, is we were successful, and then this year not, because they felt like they had done those things. But I just think that they need to know that they'll continue to have this desperate response. There will still be courts in our state that will be talking about losing while others are gaining, and that's part of what is happening in our process, and they have to try to understand that.
Well, I don't think we can develop a policy based on what the legislature may or may not do in response to our advocacy efforts. I just think we just need to kind of come up with a plan I support, and I'm fine with making the adjustments when new money's available and come back and revisit it in 3 years. I think also it would be beneficial to us just in overall to keep it simple and be able to explain it. I'm sensitive to, like I was, talking to Chad. We're in a position where we're trying not to cut off an arm but keep the transfusion going. And I think that we just keep the transfusion going in a sense. So, I think we do it through the new funding.
Yeah, for now. Yeah. I oppose that too. I think we need to do incremental and then new funding.
So when you say incremental, what increment are you discussing?
So I'm thinking that we have an average funding level. We decide what the range is. I don't know what the range should be. I'd like to see staff, if it's possible, to tell us what the 10% range cost per court, and other, and maybe a six, three on each side. If you fall within, so every year we make adjustments based on workload, because this is a workload model.
Right.
But if you fall within that range, there's no adjustment. If you're outside the range, there's adjustment, but we put policies around it, like you're not going to lose more than 1% and you're not going to gain more than 1%, or some policy so that it's more, where's the word, it's predictable, it's less volatile, and so on. So you would know at the most you would lose is 1%.
So would there be a time frame, like 5 years or 10 years?
No, it's forever. This is forever, because our workload is always going to change, right? And that's the beauty of the model, is we don't have to come back and revisit it, because at some point when we get to equity and funding with the new money, and we're at that 90% level, let's pray for a 90%, whatever, you're still going to have a range, because there will be workload fluctuations. You can't take another snapshot in time, because then 15 years from now, we'll have the same issue.
So what you're really saying is we implement WAF and we let WAF do its job. However long it takes for WAF to bring everybody in that range is how long it takes.
And then we continue to make workload adjustments after
right.
that. That's why I would treat them separately.
So Mike, I'm actually dubbing your suggestion, concept three, as do no redistribution into the money. Is that right? Okay, Mike's right.
Except for based on workload.
No, Mike's saying
nothing. He's saying nothing.
I think the optics of saying, we're going to think forward here, and as new money comes in, it's apportioned in a certain way, will be dramatically different for those courts that have been giving money because you are taking something away. Now you're not taking anything away. You may not be getting it the way you want it, but that's a very different place than lose, lose, lose. And I think
it may help our advocacy because now we've got everybody saying we need to get the money there so that everybody's equal, but not at the expense of someone else. And I think that's been a knowing, we went into that knowing that. We knew that was going to be a tough one. But I think you're going to stop hearing a lot of what you are hearing at the council because I've heard those same comments. And at least it's a neutral, if not even a positive spin at that point because, again, you're not taking something away. You may not be giving it to them fast enough, but there's a big difference in that. And frankly, what it then I think highlights are all the other budget factors that are impacting courts, all of us on an ongoing basis, costs, labor costs, biz costs of doing business, those things, which eat away at our base without any kind of growth if we don't get any additional money.
Rebecca, I don't think mine was a third concept. I was kind of agreeing with Jake's piece about the 50-50.
That's only as to the new money.
As to the new money.
No distribution unless there's new funding, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, how does everybody feel about kind of a show of hands to see what the support level is for no new funding and incremental funding, just so that we
know. For existing.
For existing, right. Just to kind of see where we are in the room. Everybody comfortable with that?
Sure.
Okay. So, if you think that we should move forward at a regular pace at an incremental level on existing funding, and then if you think that we should stay at a static level unless there's new funding. Okay, so everybody believes that there should be an incremental, right? So we really are talking about an incremental and what that looks like.
Rebecca, can I just ask clarification then? If that is what we're saying and there's no new funding, this, what the distribution is in 17-18 becomes our new base. Is that what we're saying?
There probably won't be a base because you're looking at a special,
but we're not going to adjust it based on WAFA numbers like
no.
new money.
Right.
So
we're starting from
today. Kind of a
forward
base, which would help.
It would be
make the math easier.
Right. Was workload adjustment.
That means that some will go down and some will go up with workload adjustments.
Right. Yeah. Right. As they
and I'm only concerned just from just without seeing the numbers that we start banding. We have to be careful that there isn't a situation where the pluses are greater than the minuses.
But that was why I'm talking about policies.
Yeah,
we have to establish policies around it because the math's got to work, right?
Yes. As long as thank you, that's all I wanted
yeah,
to say. Someone said,
zero.
Hey, I thought I was going
to
get a plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, because there's not enough minuses to,
yeah.
off to make it a zero-sum
yeah,
game.
Got
I just
it.
Wanted that
yeah.
to be said because of my thing. I'm getting
right.
And I'm assuming in this concept that we just raised our hands for, that we do are adopting the idea that as new monies come in, they're forced out in some kind of a matter that continues to bring the underfunded courts up faster than the better funded courts.
Right. So maybe we should re-vote and I should say.
Well, I just assumed that was a part of the bigger picture, not one or the
You've
other.
You've already got
right.
one side. Why don't you just ask that? Because you might have a unanimous.
Yeah, so how many think that we should do nothing if there's no new money?
Okay.
So everybody believes we should move forward incrementally. So really it's more about what that increment looks like.
Well, and I like the way Mike said it a little while ago, because if you do that with no new money, then the people that are under the line are going to need to realize it's going to take longer
yeah.
to get to the line. But the people above the line are also at the same, realize it's going to take longer to get down, so we give everybody a little more time.
Adjust.
As long as
they
everybody's patient, that's fine. So I think those below the line will understand, I'm not going to get my money quite as fast as I thought I was going to get it, but I'm going to get it if there's no new money. And that's what we really come full circle on, is WAFA. Because as Jake said earlier, it's WA and FUM. So I think the workload allocation, we're all in agreement. I haven't heard any dissension, absent considering other alternatives, that the workload allocation is not an effective method. I think what we've come to realize is, as Sherry has said, the workload allocation itself requires adjustments, not based upon giving and taking, but based upon actual workload. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And then with the FUM part of the distribution, my understanding is what we've said is, okay, we're going to not to use a term from the original committee, but it's going to be a glide path, and we're going to adjust that glide path. Those below are going to take a little bit longer to come up, but those above, are going to, unless there's new money. if there's new money, those below are going to get the first shot at it. And those below, are, we've all got a priority, is those below come up as quickly as possible, but those above will still get some, but their glide path will be a little more shaded. Right?
I agree. So what about Sherry's idea? What if it is capped at 1%? What if the incremental move every year is capped at 1% of your budget?
So the fun part is no greater than a 1% adjustment.
Including the,
right.
And then we're talking probably 10 years,
right? Assuming that there is no new money.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
The, and we're not really that far apart, though. Yeah. I mean, when you look at, now again, these are old ways, but... Yeah, and if the goal is to get to the average funding level, the amount to get there is not that far away.
What if you run into 2% instead of 1%? What if you say
2%? I think we should run the scenarios
right.
And see what it looks
so,
like.
Yeah,
we have to see the level
harm. And, you know, 2% of San Diego's budget is $3 million, right?
I just think we should look at both of them for our next
right.
meeting.
1.3.
I got to look at the info. And I'm thinking of San Francisco as Santa Clara and Orange. Those of in Alameda, and those of us who are in that community.
Yeah, I think we should. Look
I'm
at
saying that's the big. I think that's.
No, I think San Francisco would be glad to take 2% this year. Yeah.
I think we need to look at the scenarios, but.
So I think I don't want to stifle any kind of conversation, but it seems to me like we are kind of getting to a point where we need more information now before we can. Move too far forward, Judge.
Well, I think there's one thing we might be able to talk about, but truly just the policy question, because I don't know that we need the numbers behind it, but that's how big that band ought to be where we're generally satisfied everybody's at equity.
I think that staff should run that. I think we should see what is the cost at 5 on each side, 3 on each side, maybe 2 on each side.
Well, I think there are two different bands. One is where we're bringing them to.
Yep.
And the other one is where, and I don't think we ought to, okay, and the other one is where we're defining equity as you're within, whatever, 2% or 2.5% of the statewide average. I think I see that as two different numbers.
So I see them as only related to the adjustments based on workload, not on new funding. So in other words, if you're within...
I agree.
Okay.
That's the two numbers I'm talking about.
So I wouldn't use a band when it comes to new funding. I would only look at the average funding level wide.
Well, then maybe there are three numbers, because the third one is where once we are at equity, we're saying, okay, we're only adjusting based on workload now,
right.
Not to bring anybody anywhere.
Right.
And then, okay, so I don't mind waiting for it. I think it's a policy decision that we can make, but
yeah.
I don't mind waiting for it.
Okay, so there's been a request for those numbers as well, and so...
what are the suggested 2, 3, or...
5, 3, and...
5 above, below,
yeah.
3 above, below, 2 above, below. Is everybody comfortable with that? Okay.
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 So what I've kind of... What it looks like we have kind of formulated that is for the next time we get together... staff is bringing us evaluations that the submissions already submitted, civil assessments effect, an inflation factor effect, BLS calculation effect, Lake County response, a new 75% calculation based on the new RAS numbers, a 1, 2, and 3% scenario of a redistribution, and a 2, 3, and 5 range calculation. Does that sound right?
So you're going to want to see the 2, 3, and 5 for the 1, 2, and 3, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
You got that fast.
So that basically will be how our agenda will look for the next meeting. And we kind of what I think we're envisioning is that we will go through and see if we can get to some conclusion on those first items, meaning the submissions, the civil assessments, the inflation, the BLS, and Lake, and then that those results feed back into this conversation as far as a glide path, the ranges, et cetera.
And Doug Conklin wasn't here earlier when we discussed the interaction with WEC.
We also put on as an action item that when we have something for
really WAC or any other.
Oh, no, that we do have something, Rebecca. We do have
We
something.
Do, but yeah. You would be the one to communicate that.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
right.
you.
Yeah. Is there anything else we can talk about today?
Well, did we finalize the concept of new money?
So, let me see. This is what I have for the concept around new. Actually, the only thing I have around new money is that to be distributed at separate levels to an average funding level as a max, 50-50.
Well, I don't think we agreed on the amount, and is that something we can do now, or do we need to wait?
How does everybody feel?
First, I think that's a policy decision you can make with that number. But
me too. Yeah.
For new
and
money.
we're talking about undesignated.
Yes.
And we couldn't add with numbers. Yeah.
Right, we could. So as a policy decision, does somebody want to throw out? I mean, we have Jake's recommendation of 50-50. Is there anything else?
Like the only question there is, does that have to be posted as a...
Yeah, we can't. You can't vote on it today.
No, I'm just
right.
making concepts.
Okay.
I'm just documenting concepts.
So Jake's concept is 50% redistributed to everybody. And then the remaining 50% of new money is redistributed to those courts that are below the whatever we determine to be.
No, whatever the
whatever
75 average is, because it'll
fluctuate.
Right.
I'll second the motion. I'll second Jacob's
motion. Well, we can't vote, but any other idea?
I do want to. Oh, I'm sorry.
What happens if the 50% going to the least funded takes them past a number?
No,
are we going to go up to?
What Sherry was saying is the up to.
Up to the average funding line.
Okay.
And then it could be that only 40% distributed that way, and the other 60 goes to everybody.
So then it's up to 50% and the balance distributed under the work.
Yeah.
That's a better way.
That's a better way of saying it.
Yeah, that's a better way.
So everybody likes the 50-50 idea.
Well, can I say, when you say everybody likes, I want to just... At risk of losing my Scrooge-like character, I want to make sure that it's clear. I'm doing. I agree with that because I think that's a good compromise, not because I necessarily like it. Because I want to make sure that it's clear that I feel bad for all the courts that are losing money, but I'm also looking at all the courts. Riverside's one, but that's just by coincidence, truly. Riverside's one that's lost money over all those years. And so I want to make it clear that I agree with this as a compromise.
Okay. So, Jake, I just want to make sure I understand. Let's just assume for hypothetically $100 million comes into the branch. Is the first step that $50 million gets redistributed to everybody?
Up to
$50 million could be redistributed to
the lowers.
And
then if that... So that's the maximum would be redistributed to the lowers. If by chance it only takes $40 million to bring the lowers up to 75%, then $60 million gets redistributed.
Correct.
Exactly.
Okay.
To everybody.
Right. So the most that those under the line would get would be half of the new money. Right.
And their share.
And their
share.
And
their
share.
Okay. I think I'll just run the algebra, but after
Yes.
You could go over, I think you would always use
50%.
So as a budget advocacy piece, would it be beneficial to come up with what figure that would take? Bring it to say to the legislature, if you gave us this amount of money, everybody would be 75%.
No, because as soon as they give us money, that
average. Yeah. That 100 million will come close to closing the current gap right now.
Right.
But then tomorrow it changes.
Yeah, because then we're at 78%.
Right. But it sure go a long way.
Hey, I'll take 78%.
Yeah, me too.
60 million to the other million.
I
think you could look at
the 50 million.
It might be helpful if we come back. We would want to have an action to say. Here are some example courts, the money that the patient needs out or whatever, and re-alphabetize or something.
You could be all these plus of them.
Right.
Look at
actually, everything that we listed will be action items for next time so that we can make decisions on putting them together in the past.
Right.
So we only have a one day next time, and it sounds like we're ready to really get into the meat. Are we going to have time? We may need to talk about those. Maybe, because we have one day and then 2 days after that. It might be needed 2 days. And then
so, and having the information ahead of time is going to be really critical.
I think so, too.
At least we would all be swimming in
75%. No, we might delay.
Right. We may put it in. We could in the October meeting earlier to make a one meeting.
So one of the questions that's left with whispered in my ear is, do we want to talk about data collection or information that we're gathering as we go through this next process? We talk about measurements as to whether or not our new structure will be successful, but in terms of truly advocacy and how we're handling new money, do we want to build in some data collection points for that ahead of time? Do we?
But
why don't you explain what you're,
well, okay. I mean, when we did the first $60 million, it was a report of what it was, but it stops. And the snapshots kind of caught it up, but, you know, the snapshots were tailored for each court to tell its story because it was partly a leave behind with their local legislative team. I don't know, just this idea that we have an opportunity to sort of think about the next time we have an evaluation. What do we gather as far as outcomes from the courts? We talk about the good that's happened and kind of tend to hear more about the specific bads that have happened. But I think that it would be beneficial to us to have a sort of rolling repository of what has happened as a result of these fiscal, you know, these critical fiscal changes.
My objection to this report on the 60 million was that they handled it in isolation and as if there were no other moving parts. So at the end of the day,
indeed,
it might have been zero.
True,
but we had to make up stuff.
I think that make
people feel good about what they did.
I agree.
And that concerns me about.
I think the idea that there's something that we're doing as far as gathering it consistently over time, so that when we gather in 2, 3, 4 years, that we look back at the reports and say, here's what has happened by court as a result of these changes. I just feel like, you know, we're not going to get, you know, performance outcome points, but I think if we can move in some direction of information and some level of data, because we hear about it, you know, talking to Judge Lucas the other day about, well, what do we want to portray to those as part of advocacy? We need data. We need to know what's going on. Well, if you had, you know, something that you measured as bad and it's gotten better, or bad and it's gotten worse, or something good. That's, you know, I feel like those are things that are important for us to try and gather as we go along to see how courts' positions are changed. And if you don't get, if you have San Diego Retirement changing their discount rate on their return, then you are going to have a $2, 3, 4 million hit. That's going to make your picture look different. So it's not just in isolation of law firm, but other cost drivers.
I want to put that in a couple of categories. So there is a set of rules that are in the California Rules of Court that dictate how long the hours are in particular courts and whether you're within a certain length. Yeah. We want you to be open X number of hours, but you have to be open in these number of hours. You could ask the courts how many courts are following that rule. There are standards of judicial administration, which are just guidelines. They're not requirements. But similarly in there, you could pull out where are we on civil trial completion rates, which I would guess are not. A lot of courts aren't in that range, right? You could identify, I mean, on the judicial council staff side, you could go through and pick those out and put it on a spreadsheet and send it out to everyone and say, you know, are you red, yellow, green, and something simple. And then, I mean, that's part one. You could do that, and then we could see, once we go through all this process, are we still there? The second one is we do have, you know, coming up the CJA and Court Executive joint meetings, and one of the items is going to be talking about, well, we have this issue, the courts are bigger than what people sometimes think we are, and talking about, well, what happens when we're chronically underfunded and what are some real examples of what happens to real people, and then tying that back to some workload measure or performance measure that we can all say, yeah, so if you don't submit your disposition forms to DOJ, then DOJ information isn't updated, and so therefore when someone goes to search someone's records, if they can't find out that this person was just convicted of some drug offense and now they're working at a retirement home. We could measure those things. But
I'd like to,
some of it is already defined.
Okay.
I don't know that you're going to get any more details than that. I don't think that people care if I say you have to wait 2.5 hours to see a clerk in family law. You know, that's going to happen because retirement costs just went up by $3 million,
mm-hmm.
and you have to reduce the number of staff. I mean,
I don't know that that is something that resonates outside of us, who know that, that means that somebody just gave up 2.5 hours of their life, plus probably took the whole day off of work to come file paperwork,
but
right?
I think that we talked earlier about what it is that the administration and their analysts look at versus what the legislature looks at. And somehow in this effort, the reason I bring the suggestion is, how do we try and understand that we have other partners that's convinced, you know, of what we need? And I'm just asking the question because I think it's, I'm not saying that right now, let's identify the specific pieces of work. Do we want to do this? And this is an opportunity as we embark sort of on, you know, I don't feel like we're doing a 2.0, we might be doing a 1.1 on WAFM in some respects, but as we embark on the next version, understanding how they dovetail, that's my question, because when we walk around, what are we explaining to folks? Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
it's part of that advocacy. This is what happens when new money, you know, a court gets more money. You know, it's cause and effect kind of a thing. And you have...
Well, the lack thereof new money, right?
Yeah.
In a year. That's an equally important question.
You show them.
Why don't we put this down as something we'll ponder before the next meeting?
I'm not saying that. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not that it has to be resolved for allocations, but I think it's part of the work we should do to support our branch. I mean, if Sherry's putting all kinds of data together, what is that? What is it that's been, you know, shared with folks that she thinks is the most compelling argument? You know what I mean?
Zero. Nothing's been compelling.
No, but I mean, in terms of, but if we're all doing it, and we all have our variations on the story, then we can say, you know what, it's all helping us.
Well, is it more effective to say to them, here's what's happening because of the lack of money, and if we get more money, here's what will get better? Or is it more effective to say to them, if we get new money now, here's the interest?
I don't think after all the brain power is expended that I want to nail down the answer to the question, but rather, should we consider some sort of data example reporting?
If you have the data, Judge, you can use it
right. Every
which way, depending on what we need to do.
You know, I did what Sherry's doing a couple, 2-3 years ago with our local bar, and they produced some incredible publications, incredibly active. I mean, they were sending dozens of members up, member meetings with our delegation, with other delegations. We quantified backlog. We quantified the fact it was taking 12 months to get a summary clerk's default judgment out of the clerk's office. I mean, all that. I had nothing.
Yeah, but you have to remember there's going to be a different administration coming in. Just because it didn't work with one doesn't mean it's not going to work for the other.
It didn't work with the legislators either, and a lot of them are still there.
But they, as we said before, they react to what's in the governor's budget, and the data that the Department of Finance looks for is, again, I think, different than the story that the legislature feels like. And so when we have our meetings over the next, you know, month with these courts, they're going to want to know, what does that mean?
So I was a little heartbroken. I think Judge Buckley, although I did not get a chance to listen to the Judicial Council meeting, it's my understanding that he did articulate why there's value in separating our BCP, the dependency council part, from the operational part, and was voted down. Is that right? That's my understanding, that there was discussion.
That's correct.
Yeah, that is correct.
Dependency.
Yep, it was, and I'll tell you why.
Because he asked if dependency was the same as what it was because it was the same 22
right.
When he answered that question.
He talked about separating out the
WAFM
and cost of living and
different subcomponents, the cost being all one conglomeration versus
being operation.
Yes.
Because let me give you a really good example of how those disconnects work. So we get $22 million in dependency, which is ongoing money, right? So great. We've got great relief in L.A., which I think is, if not the most underfunded, one of the most underfunded in dependency council, where their caseloads were like 350 kids per lawyer, and now they're coming down. So great. Our lawyers finally have relief. So they're hiring more lawyers. But I can't have more staff now process those motions. I can't have staff now get to those 827 petitions. So with more lawyers generating more work, I now have a backlog because I don't have operational funding. You know, so that's a good example of how, we really depend. It's just one of those things where it's an issue, you know?
So from an advocacy standpoint, the absence of data, you're done. Forget it. At least with the administration.
Yes.
The administration is all about data.
Yep.
And then when you turn to the legislature, you know, they're much more sympathetic to the voting population out there. That's what they really it's the people. What's the impact of the people? Two pieces of the puzzle, absence of data, very, very difficult conversations to have with the administration.
Okay, so let's respond to that then. If that's really true, then we need to figure out how to grab that so it's a selling point.
I agree.
Okay. Part of transparency.
Which is one of our and accountability, one of the number five principles up there.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, I can come up with the fluffy stuff. You know, we expanded our clerk's hours from 3 to 4. We did, you know, we had self-help. We expanded our self-help. I can come up with this. The truth of the matter is most of what I did with the money was really mundane stuff. Replaced servers that were going out. You know, bought chairs in response to ergonomic claims. It's hard to make 90% of what we spend the money on very sexy because it's just...
Because we don't have enough of it to be sexy. We've got to have a case management system within this court.
It's a fundamental thing.
All right,
so I had at least additional space for records because I can't afford a imaging system. Is that a message? Is that something
and did you have
to
have staff in order to pay for the lease?
No. Or so. I used money. I need money for it. Okay. That's why I spent the $60 million on or whatever. So I'm tell us what you're looking for. I'll see if we can come up with it. But the fact is, most of it's really pretty mundane. I guess we can connect the dots, but did anybody care about that?
But that's exactly the thing we talked about structural budget problems. The mundane has to be funded so you can do the extraordinary.
But do you think we're preaching to the choir here? Because we all probably agree with that there are 58 presiding judges and 58 CEOs, and you need that data from everyone.
We have to start somewhere. The power of this committee is large.
Can we put that on the agenda for CR?
Yeah, that's right.
Talk about that.
What?
We're the ones that help manage the money for the long term.
Okay.
I do think that's right. I mean, we reach more people that way.
It is on for the joint session or breakout to talk about getting some real examples to apply to, have people come with real examples of real issues that occur from chronic underfunding, and then using that to also then identify, well, what is a measure that would be an indicator that might occur again in another court. That's the breakout sessions, and then on the actual CIAC agenda is a discussion that's based on what comes out of that. It'll have been the day before, so I don't know how much John and Lachlan can really bring together, but then have a, what are we going to do now with this information conversation?
And
the PJs have a similar.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that.
But what might be helpful is if staff could go ahead and if there's something that Lachlan has or John or Corey that or Joey that, you know, really, if you guys started measuring this so that we could show them a change over time that would benefit us, that would be good to have from staff's expertise instead of trying to, you know, look for the target. If we kind of already know where it is, we could talk about those specific things. And it may be that Corey has a different idea from Ledge or something else, but what if we started measuring something that we could all agree on, would it help us in our advocacy?
What do they care most about?
I really
when you go to them, what do they care most about?
I like that a lot.
I'm trying to play on what Joyce just said, but we've got to know the message to send.
I think it would reverse engineer the vulnerable, and how do we convert those populations that are two data points? Like, okay, we talk about the vulnerable being impacted. Well, what happens in our process that isn't happening that causes us to not serve those populations? Delays, backlogs, that are the services we provide to them.
And it may be looking at the standards of judicial performance and highlighting those things that we already have in place that we just can capture.
And those are known to us and what they mean to us, and they would be, again, you know, something that a data-based mindset of an analyst at the Department of Finance would appreciate once they understand through the visits what those things mean. But then we have to then convert those to the stories of what's happening to people. And it all has to interconnect. That's the art of the advocacy is there's data, like in education, there's data, and then there's what are the outcomes. And they, you know, my son gets his standardized test, well, what did that mean for him? And you know, so it's got to be there melded together.
In your experience, Dylan, Jody, and John, is the administration the key pressure point because the budget comes out January 10th, the May revise, and I think historically we've seen very little percentage movement once the legislature and the big three get involved. So are we really trying to focus what we're doing on the administration so that when the January 10th budget comes out, that's where we have the numbers that we're looking for?
Absolutely.
Yes. And because of the staff changes that are occurring, I mean, it starts with that which the council voted on a couple of weeks ago in terms of our budget priorities. They go to them first, and that which is not successful, then, you know, we not only do advocate for what is in the budget, but those things that we didn't get. And I would say this is that there's almost like 100% turnover going to be in the staff that we deal with when we head into this next process. And so this educational process that we're going through and the visits with the courts is going to be critical in establishing that knowledge base that then they can be, and this makes sound odd, I mean, they do advocate in a way, but they don't call it advocacy. It's their full and deep understanding of our operations that lead to deep discussions in their decision-making process, and the sort of lack of staff and attention has made those discussions have been you know, sort of fairly superficial, and therefore we get the kinds of decisions in the budget that we get. I think we're in a good spot where this new team will be the ones, you know, sort of fading out this administration and working into the next administration, and their message to the next administration will be the blueprint for where we are going to be going for the next 4 to 8 years, depending on who that governor will be.
Over the next few weeks, we've invited finance to a series of conversations with us about our structural issues here and some trips to specific courts to show them. And that's what Vlad is talking about.
Five trips. And at each of the five courts, two additional courts will be just, we're going to be hitting 15 courts over the five visits.
Santa Barbara, Ventura.
Yeah, but that's one day. Anyway, so I mean, 15 total courts,
right,
over the next month before they get the BCPs.
Sure.
Yeah, so kind of bringing this to an end, if that's okay. For the PJCEO conference, I'm wondering if we should have copies of the California Rules of Court and the standards as handouts, and maybe asking people if perhaps you know, as part of our data collection, if they'd be, you know, willing, able to kind of reflect where they were before the budget cuts, where they are now, and perhaps where they think they could go, or are there things we could agree on? So I think I don't have them. I just sent it to staff. I want to see them. I don't recall seeing them before. They might be there before my time with the state court, and I think that might be a good measurement. And that might be a good thing to add somehow in the PJCEO discussion somewhere and have those as materials.
So Sherry, those are, you're talking about the
time
items, right?
Those I've seen, but Jake said there's also, you know, core hours, and
oh,
yesterday there was, you know, discussion about some document that was prepared a long time ago that kind of how long it should typically take.
Standards of judicial administration.
There you go. So.
Yeah, we got, I mean, again, I don't want to belabor this point, but we have a conversation about, do you have a self-help center? Does your self-help center
yeah.
provide service in the following?
But why not remind, you know, the PJs rotate, and there's people that haven't grown up in the system that may not know about some of these old documents. It might be good to, and we've got a lot of new CEOs right now. So I just think that anytime we can give them materials or have a link to them, that would be a good thing. Okay.
All right.
So I think we have kind of fully exhausted these conversations. We have a laundry list for staff. Is there anything else?
I want to take just a moment and, one, apologize for lack of participation this morning. Two, to thank staff. The work that's gone into this has enabled us to make these decisions. Sherry, I mean, Sherry talked about the hours and hours she's put in, and I know she has, and those, I'm sure she would agree, too, pale in comparison to the hours that these folks have put in. Put all this together. Rebecca and I have been working with them for quite a while just in preparation of this meeting, and their work is, we just simply could not do without it. So I know we all know that, but I think it's worth mentioning. I want to thank Rebecca for sort of stepping in here in my lack of participatory presentations. And it was a great meeting. I thank everybody for their work. We've got significant work ahead of us, and next time I'll be a little more up to speed. So.
And we hope you're feeling better.
I'm feeling great. Okay. I just look weird. But that's a whole different issue. So, anything else, folks? All right. Safe travels all. And we're going to turn off the...
Because I haven't seen my friend. Yeah.
I will. Okay. I will. Yeah.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.